This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up today, at 162 days, Major League Baseball has the longest season in the sports world. We'll talk with Washington Post sports reporter Barry Svrluga about the grind that players, managers, and their families face. We'll also hear from former President Jimmy Carter about his experiences and his new book. But first, Pluto has fascinated astronomers and science fiction writers since its discovery in 1930. And today, after traveling 9 years and more than 3 billion miles, the New Horizons space probe is providing us with our first close-up look at Pluto and its nearest moon, Charon. Here to give us some background on Pluto and discuss the importance of the New Horizon mission and what scientists hope to learn from it is Cincinnati Observatory Assistant Director and Outreach Astronomer Dean Regas. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Dean, great to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
Now, this is really, it's a huge day in space exploration, isn't it?
Oh, big day. We've been waiting for this day for a long time. Like you said, Pluto was discovered in 1930. We had no idea what it looks like. This is a little dot in a telescope. We look at we look at Pluto through our telescopes at the observatory, and good luck finding it. It looks like it's the smallest dot on there. And up until, even with the Hubble telescope, we can't tell much detail. So this spacecraft has been gone for 9.5 years. It left in 2006. And we've been waiting for this day for a long time to finally meet Pluto.
Now, what's the observatory going to do to mark the occasion?
Well, we're open tonight from 8 to 10 o'clock. We're open to the public. You can drop in to see the observatory itself. And if it's clear, we'll be looking at other planets like Saturn. And then we're going to be listening in to NASA TV. We're going to be there with them while they get the first signal back from Pluto. It's due back at about 9.02 p.m. that they're going to get this signal that says, all clear, we made it past Pluto, and then the data will start flowing after that.
And the amazing thing about the signal coming in around 9 o'clock tonight is that signal started, what, 4 hours, is it, earlier?
That's right.
4 hours to go that distance?
That's right. It's, you know, Pluto right now is about 4 light hours away. So it takes a signal going at the speed of light 4 hours to go from Pluto to us.
Now, how was Pluto discovered?
That was an interesting thing. This was a long search for Pluto. Pluto was not easy to find, that's for sure. There was a guy named Percival Lowell that started the search. He swore up and down that he wanted to find this planet, and he started the observatory in Arizona for this in Flagstaff. But he passed away, and then a young astronomer named Clyde Tombaugh took up the torch, and he had this not so giant telescope, not a really large one, but he attached a camera to it, and he took pictures of the sky at various times, and he'd go back and he'd take pictures of the same part of the sky again and look for anything that moved. Anything that moved was not a star, and if it moved at the right rate, it would be at a distance where this hopeful planet would be. So after hours and hours and hours of processing film and working with glass plates, he finally found this thing that moved, this little dot, and he would compare pictures in this machine called the Blink Comparator. So he would flip back and forth from an old picture to a new picture, old picture to a new picture. And if anything moved, he'd be able to see that with his eye. So it was all eye detection. And imagine this guy, you know, with his head looking through this giant machine flipping back and forth.
Something 3 billion miles away.
Yes. And doing this over and over again, night after night after night, and finding nothing. The persistence. And then finally, Eureka, he finds this little object, and Pluto is discovered.
He was he was in his 20s,
in his
right?
early 20s. I think he was 24 or so when he discovered Pluto. So a good start for his career. This is a Kansas boy. I believe that's where he grew up, in Kansas, then was in Arizona and discovered it at the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff.
And that's one of the reasons why there's this American attachment to Pluto, isn't there? Because it was discovered by a Midwesterner, an American.
There could be a little bit of American pride in this, too. That's for sure. That here was and he has such a good story. I mean, that he, you know, made his own telescopes as a kid and that type of thing. And here he comes to find this, doing this his own technique, his own way. It's a real American story, I think.
How did the planet get its name? It's not named after Mickey Mouse's dog, right?
It is not. It's okay. The other way around.
Just to be clear.
Yes, it's the other way around. Disney always was always ready for some kind of PR stuff, and Pluto became popular. So they're like, let's make a character out of it. How about that? Interesting. It appeared just about that next year or so.
Around the same time.
Yep. And the story that I hear is that it was proposed by an 11-year-old girl. They took kind of, it was kind of a contest to name the next planet. And they wanted something with a PL in it to kind of honor Percival Lowell, who wanted to get this planet found. And a 11-year-old girl in England came up with the idea, let's call it Pluto, you know, for the god of the underworld, since this is the farthest away object that we've ever seen at that time. And so that's what stuck.
And, you know, Pluto's discovery, that really caught the imagination of a lot of science fiction writers. There was some pretty wild and crazy stuff written surrounding Pluto, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's been a world of mystery. That's the thing. And so Pluto has only existed in our imagination for these 85 years. And so when we see these first pictures that are coming back, these preliminary pictures, I'm looking at it and I'll be honest, I'll think like, that's not what I thought. That's not what I was picturing all these years of what it would actually look like. And I don't know why I'm surprised to be surprised, but that's it just captured our imagination. So this was the farthest away planet, the coldest planet, and then the smallest planet for so long. And then the weirdest planet, because it had the weirdest orbit that crossed paths with Neptune that was tilted compared to all the others. So I think there was a lot of people that like the underdog too. Maybe that's another American trait of ours. We like the underdog. We like the small one and we like the weird one. I don't know.
Well, how long was it from the discovery of the last planet before Pluto until Pluto was discovered?
Well, let's see. So Neptune was discovered about 1846. And so that was quite a big jump from 1846 to 1930. And you think all the astronomers in Europe and America were searching for planets and couldn't find anything. That's what such an achievement this was. But it also speaks to what Pluto is. Pluto is not anything like Neptune. Neptune's a piece of cake to find. Pluto is like finding a needle in a haystack with a lot of other needles. That's for sure. It's to find the right needle in that haystack. It is a challenge, and that's it takes a dedicated effort by somebody to do this, and maybe possibly an obsession to find this kind of thing.
Well, how far is it to Neptune from Earth?
So Neptune and Pluto are almost similar distances right now. They're in the billions. So Pluto's a little under 3 billion and I'm sorry, Neptune's a little bit under 3 billion miles and Pluto's a little over 3 billion miles right now.
Dean, scientists at first thought Pluto was the same size as the Earth, basically. But as technology got more precise, so I think we finally figured out it was about, 20% of the size of the Earth?
The diameter. Very, very small. Very small compared to the Earth. So it's somewhere around the 1,400 miles in diameter, something like that, compared to the Earth, which is about 8,000 miles in diameter.
You know, so as we've gotten a better sense of Pluto's size over the years, that's where we start to see Pluto's stature being progressively diminished.
Yes.
That had to be tough on Tombaugh, seeing his discovery diminished like that.
Well, I think he took it all in very good stride, actually, because this is the way science is you discover things and you think, okay, we have this idea of what a planet should be like, and we found a planet, so it's going to be big, right? Well, then we look at it a little more, and no, it's not quite as big as we thought, and it's really bright. Because it was made of ice. So the brightness really kind of fooled us. We thought, okay, it's bright. That means it's big. Nope, it's bright because it's bright. And so as years go on, the estimated size of Pluto shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. And there was one joke that if we watch Pluto any longer, it's going to disappear because it just keeps getting smaller and smaller according to our measurements. But that's the challenge of looking at something so far away and so tiny. I mean, they had a graphic for the New Horizons spacecraft. To fly to Pluto where it is right now is the equivalent of a golfer hitting a hole in one from New York to L.A.
Oh my gosh.
Precision just to hit to reach that faint dot that's so far away, that's the precision that it is. And so finding it is almost impossible with a telescope.
And it's going to pass within under 8,000 miles of Pluto?
Yes, very close in the range of where some of the moons are. So it's going to go through the plane of the moons.
Yeah, going back a little bit in the whole process, when they first discovered Pluto, How long did it take before that discovery was legitimized, before people said, yeah, we verified this, you're right, you found something new? And when was it first decided that Pluto was a planet?
Well, it pretty much right away, because the Tombaugh was so good at documenting everything. And of course, you know, he didn't want to just go out there and say, you know, he wanted to make everything confirmed. And it didn't take long, because his telescope he used was not huge. He just needed to point at the right place at the right time. So all he has to do is to confirm with a few folks. They point their telescopes at it. Bingo, we got it. So it was embraced very, very quickly, because at the time people had been waiting for this discovery. Like you said, it's been a long time between Neptune was found and Pluto. And so they thought, all right, this is inevitable. We're going to find one. And then they start thinking, all right, where's the next one? But we never found the next one. Well, that gets complicated. We found lots of next ones. That's the thing. And that's what happened to Pluto.
Found too many next ones and decided that it was too much like the next ones.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And so I know this is where Pluto gets the other part of it. You know, it's a very popular object, and it also gets a lot of reactions to people, because some feel very slighted that us big bad astronomers demoted it and considered it not a planet. I know. I'm sorry. We pulled the rug out from under you on that one, that the Pluto is not a planet. And it really is because of our new discoveries. We were looking for new planets. We're looking for bigger objects, and we found lots of objects instead. We found over 1,000 objects where Pluto lives.
So who made that final decision to kick Pluto out of the Planet Club? That was, around 2005 or so that mm-hmm. happened?
Yeah, very controversial decision. 2005, 2006, at one of the meetings, the International Astronomical Union.
You big bad astronomers.
We'll call them big bad astronomers, but they are an international group of highly respected and well-accomplished astronomers that met. And they actually were proposing a different theory. The committee that was to look into this actually proposed an alternate theory that there should be 12 planets, including Pluto, including the newly found object that's bigger than Pluto called Eris, and including the largest asteroid Ceres and a moon of Pluto called Charon. So there have been 12 planets if they would have got their way. The people at the IAU were, the general population was kind of outraged by this 12 planet thing and stage a mutiny and voted on the 8-planet definition, and that passed.
My guest this afternoon, Cincinnati Observatory Assistant Director and Outreach Astronomer Dean Regas, and today is a milestone in space exploration as we'll get a closer view of Pluto today. 513-419-7100 to join the conversation. So the New Horizon project was already well underway when Pluto was demoted. Did they ever talk about scrapping New Horizons because of that?
This was one of the things when I started at the Cincinnati Observatory. The Pluto mission was always one of those. I followed that really well, really, and they had different designs on it. It was called the Pluto Express. Then that got scrapped. Then as the Pluto Kuiper Express, that got scrapped, and then the New Horizons came, and that started passing through Congress. And I don't know what it was, if it was the name. They didn't want Pluto in the name. I don't know. But it passed Congress. They launched in 2006 in January. And that was, for an astronomer and a space scientist, the best days are when you launch off of the Earth and when you pass by your object. Because, well, the day you launch off of Earth, there ain't no coming back. So all the politics, all the politicians could not bring that spacecraft back. They could not cancel the mission. It's a go, and it's rocketed off into space as the fastest spacecraft we have ever created.
How fast is that thing traveling?
I think the initial speed was in the 40,000s, over 40,000 miles an hour. So it could traverse the distance to the moon in, you know, a couple of 6 hours. It's since been slowed down by the gravitational pull of the sun. I think it's still maybe in the 30,000 mile an hour range as it's flying by Pluto.
Oh, heavens, it's running out of steam.
It's starting to slow down, but that's why we're flying by. We don't have enough fuel to stop it. So it's going at this tremendous pace, and it's just going to fly by and then go on to another adventure possibly.
Now, what does the spacecraft look like? What describe it to us?
Well, it's kind of this triangular, I guess it'd be a triangular shape with a giant radio antenna on it. And
big dish-like thing on it?
Big dish, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so that's the main thing that's sending the signal back to us. And so it needed to be of a certain size to be able to reach back to the Earth. But the spacecraft has all these different instruments on it that can tell a lot of things. The big thing that we're watching is called the LORI, and that's the reconnaissance camera that's going to be taking all these pictures when it goes by. And the so it already has flown by Pluto, and we're just waiting to get the data back. And I can't wait to see what kind of pictures we're already getting some really pretty good ones. I'm waiting to get the high res ones where each pixel is going to be a couple hundred feet across instead of a couple hundred miles across. Wow. So
we were talking earlier about the demotion of Pluto. What makes a planet a planet? I mean,
ooh, that's a tough one.
It's always struck me as very curious that all of a sudden it's just not a planet anymore. What are the standards we're looking at?
That's right. The official line is a planet is a round object that goes around the sun. That has cleared its path around its sun. Now, this is a very troublesome definition for a lot of people, including myself. Why a planet has to be round? Well, it has to be big enough to achieve a round shape. I'm not a big fan of that. Round, so what? I don't, it could be square. It doesn't matter to me. But what's important to me is, and I think the essence of the definition is, a planet is a big, important thing in the solar system. It's a mover and shaker. And the eight largest, most important objects in the solar system are planets. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. Everything else is something else.
And that leads us to your most hated, despised term now, dwarf planet.
Yes, Pluto is officially known as a dwarf planet. And this was a definition to try to appease the Pluto crowd that wanted to keep the planet part of the definition for Pluto. And so a dwarf planet is anything that's round, that's not a dominating object in its region. So Pluto is round, but shares its orbit with thousands of other objects. But Pluto is also considered, Pluto joins another dwarf planet called Ceres, which is the largest asteroid. And this is where it really gets me, because Ceres and Pluto have nothing in common whatsoever, but they're lumped in together because they're round. That's their only commonality. But here's Ceres that's, only a couple, less than a billion miles from the sun, and Pluto 3 billion miles from the sun, nothing in common. And so that's, I would love to rewrite the dwarf planet definition and get rid of it altogether. We could call asteroids asteroids and Pluto a plutoid. That's what Pluto is. Pluto is, the population of plutoids are out where Pluto lives. So that's my vote. Plutoids and asteroids and then planets.
Like you're saying earlier, call it what it is.
Call it what it is. That's right.
Let's talk with Nancy in East Walnut Hills. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
And
I'm here.
You're on.
Yeah, okay. I had two questions. One was, how long does it take the satellite to go through Pluto or around it or what it's doing? The second is, on my computer, when I get on nasatv.com, it comes up with a malware warning.
Ooh, that's not good. I'm not sure if you do a Google search for NASA TV and you click on the first thing, that should work, because I've been using it lately. But we'll double check on that. And then as far as flying by, this spacecraft's going over 30,000 miles an hour. And so to pass by Pluto, it'll pass by Pluto in less than an hour. That's for sure. Pluto is a very small object. And so that's why today is so critical. All those astronomers are nervously awaiting this go time, essentially, because they've been waiting for 9.5 years for this 1 hour to get the most data that they can when they're flying by.
Nancy, thank you. Good questions. What are scientists expecting to get out of these closer pictures of Pluto?
Well, first we want to know exactly what the surface features are like. So geologists are ready to look at this and see what kind of, if there's a lot of crater impacts, if there's any glacial grooves, if there's things that we see from other moons, like a moon of Neptune, which called Triton, which we think is going to be very similar to Pluto. Another thing we want to look is for an atmosphere. Does Pluto, even though it's so far away from the sun, can it hold its own atmosphere? And initial indications are it does have an atmosphere. And this was the big point of why they wanted to launch when they did. Pluto is still relatively close to the sun than when it is later on in its cycle. We wanted to get it while it was closest to the sun to see this atmosphere as much as possible.
You think this could reopen the whole, reignite the whole debate? I mean, it's been ongoing. Does this make it more intense?
It already has. It already has. That's right. The biggest proponent of this is the chief scientist, principal investigator, Alan Stern of the New Horizons spacecraft. He wants Pluto to be a planet. He wants Ceres to be a planet. Of course, he's also the principal investigator of the two missions or visiting those two worlds. And so he's going to be front and center talking about that, I think. But the debate rages and, it's always good. I think it's always fun to debate. It's, when people are talking science, I love it.
And you're on the side that says don't promote it again. Leave it what it is.
I say, there's a historic precedent for kicking out planets when we find out new information, and Pluto is a Plutoid, I'm sorry to say. And that's the thing.
But not a dwarf planet.
And not a dwarf planet. But people love Pluto because they think it's so unique. And I'm sorry to say it's not very unique, actually. It has 1,000 other brothers and sisters out there. And so if people really like the underdog Americans, go with the new weirdo. That's Sedna.
Real quickly, where does New Horizons head next?
That's a good question. We're going to
it's the Kuiper Belt. Is that where it's?
We're going to redirect it to another Plutoid or a Kuiper Belt object out there in the far reaches.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon, Cincinnati Observatory Assistant Director and Outreach Astronomer Dean Regas. Coming up, sports reporter Barry Sverlugas says baseball has a unique rhythm all its own, one that players call the grind. And we'll hear from former President Jimmy Carter as he reflects on his 90 years of life. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.